Father, I thank you, Lord, for the fellowship hour this morning as we gather together in fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Lord and also with one another. We cover ourselves with the blood of Jesus, and we declare that the entrance of your word, the going forth thereof, as we receive it, let it bring, inspiration and understanding to us. Let it cause light to enter into our lives. The entrance of your word is written, brings light and gives understanding in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, I want to talk a little about understanding this morning. There really isn't anything we can do without understanding. This topic this morning of the ordinances of heaven and the dominion in the earth has to do with understanding. This is so key. You know, so understanding when the word of God comes, it is intended to give understanding. I say this verse just about every day that I stand to preach the word of God, whether here on this platform, at our local assembly, at the church, every time I stand in the message of the Lord, I always quote this one verse before I preach, because to me, that's where it is at. And you can find it in Psalm 119 and verse 130. The entrance of thy words give light and giveth understanding unto the simple. And so also we remember the parable that Jesus gave of the sower. In that parable in Matthew chapter 13, after he gave it and the disciples came to him for to explain, ask him to explain it, as he began to explain it, we see a very key concept that he brought out. It's very important. They asked him, why do you speak unto them in parables? And Jesus said, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. You know, and so he speaks to them in parables. He said, for whosoever hath, you know, shall be given. Now, if you have understanding, you will get more understanding. And, you know, but if you don't have understanding, even the little you have shall be taken away. The devil will take the little just because you don't have understanding. And you can't get understanding except by the word. And if you don't have it, he will take it away. I mean, it's kind of like a catch-22. But listen to this. So therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So these things are very important. As these portals to understanding, that is very important. You know, our eyes, right? And our ears. And then our heart. You know, so he said, look, it is well fulfilled in them the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, you know, seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, and so forth. And they do not understand. So here's what he said. By hearing ye shall hear, and yet shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and yet not perceive. And your heart, you know, said the people's heart are made waxed gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes are closed. You know, they can't see with their eyes. They can't hear with their ears. And they cannot understand with their heart. So those three portals are very important. Seeing with our eyes, hearing with our ears, and understanding with our heart. So all of it must lead to understanding our heart. You know, and because they missed those three avenues. Well, he said they cannot be converted and they cannot be healed. You know, but he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. Now he said again, many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things that you see, but I've not seen them. They've also desired to hear those things that you hear, and I've not heard them. Now hear therefore the parable of the sower. And he laid that foundation to show how important understanding is. You know, and that's, we're going to get into that on this, in this lesson this morning. But here's what Jesus said. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, this is now Matthew 13 and 18, and understandeth it not, see, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Now this is the seed that fell by the wayside, the one that received seed on the wayside. I call them wayside hearers of the word. That's what I call them. The wayside hearers of the word do not receive any understanding. And because they don't have understanding, the devil will come and catch away the word from their heart. So we don't want to be wayside hearers of the word. I mean, they hear the word quite all right, but there is no understanding. But then how can we get understanding? You know, if it is the word that gives understanding and we hear it and we don't have understanding, then how are we going to get understanding when the little we even have is taken away from us? I don't know. That's a, you know, it's like a vicious circle that someone can't get out of. However, I do know this, that blessed are your eyes, for they see. And blessed are your ears, for they hear. And blessed are you because you have a heart that understands. So, you know, our lesson today is understanding the ordinances of heaven and their dominion in the earth. I just didn't have enough room to put all the words in the title. It's all about understanding the ordinances of heaven and their dominion in the earth. We have been talking the last few days on the, you know, concept of practicing, you know, to bring something to perfection. We talked about the faith lab. You start with the promises of God. You practice how to use them until you perfect them. And once you know how it works, you stay with that formula. You know, that's a summary of what the faith lab is all about. You know, and I talk and I, you know, I highlighted an important principle that even when we are looking for a promise of God on which to stand, we have to search carefully because there might be conditions around that promise. I remember that I highlighted that. And if there are conditions, and for most promises in the Bible, there are conditions. There's always an if around it. And you must understand the if or ifs, maybe one or more things that surround that, you know. So, because sometimes I say, well, you know, I'm believing the promise, but yet it's not happening. Well, are you meeting the conditions around the promise? You know, because it's not just random promise without God, without expectation from God. He puts it out there, but he puts some conditions around them, those promises, and you must understand those conditions. You know, you have to understand those conditions. So this lesson today is a critical part of the series that we have been doing. You know, to find the promise of God, to know how to use it, to know how to be persuaded about it and embrace it and confess it and act it out in your life you know, we must learn how to do that. But around that promise that you are standing on, there may be conditions, you know, and as you read and search the scriptures to look for the promise that you need for the situation at hand, remember to look for the underlying conditions that may be with that promise. There's always a significant and a profound condition around anything, several generic things like, you know, you know, faith and so on. You got to have faith in what you are, you know, trying to use. But there is another one that people overlook sometimes. You know, one of the most powerful places where Jesus talked about, you know, how to use your word, the word of God in your mouth most effectively, is in Mark chapter 11. And where he talked about, you know, if you speak to the mountain, you know, and you don't doubt it in your heart, but you believe that you things you said will come to pass, that it will come to pass. He said that in Mark chapter 11, verse 23. And the reason he said that was because the day before, he had cursed the fig tree that wasn't producing. And when they came back, they saw that it had died. And so the disciples were amazed. And so he explained that to them. And you can do the same. Just don't doubt it. When you speak the word, don't doubt it in your heart. Believe that you come to pass. So he gave them a promise in verse 24. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Well, inside that powerful promise, there is hidden a condition. This one doesn't say if, but you can read it as though it said if, you know, because it's like, if you believe when you pray, then you will receive the things that you desire. There's a, you know, hidden if in there. But then in verse 25, he also brought out an amazing principle. He said, and when you start a sentence with and, that means it's a conjunction to what you just said before. So, and when you stand praying, so you got to forgive. Now, if you don't forgive when you have aught against any, well, you say, well, you know, you have to do that because it may block your prayers. Now, forgive so that your Heavenly Father may also forgive you. For if you do not forgive, say, but. Now, again, when you start another sentence with but, that's also a conjunction to the foregoing and the previous statement. So when you stand praying, you forgive, and the Heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will the Heavenly Father forgive you. And we're talking about receiving answer to your declarations. And Jesus is talking about forgiveness. So basically, you put it all together, you see that what he's saying is that, look, unforgiveness can block those prayers. And it can block those declarations. So check your heart for true forgiveness, you know, when you are in the corridor while you're waiting for an answer. Make sure you forgive anyone that may have, you know, that you may have had aught against. So, but in general, today I want to talk about the ordinances of heaven. These ordinances of heaven are revealed to us in throughout the scriptures in the way that God talks to us. Like in this lesson on the issue of faith and so on and so forth. The ordinances of heaven that control the outcome of all these declarations and things, you know, are the conditions. The conditions. You know, so when the Lord says in Exodus, here's a good one, for instance, Exodus 15 and 26, and the Lord talks about, I am the Lord that healeth you, and I will not put any of these sicknesses upon you. Well, you know, you read it from the beginning of the verse. Don't jump just to the end. And you will see the conditions that go before that powerful declaration from God. And those are the, in that particular scenario of needing healing from any kind of sickness or disease, the ordinances of heaven that will bring that healing to you are the foregoing conditions that he mentioned. And how did he mention them? I mean, what were the things he mentioned? Well, let's read it together in Exodus 15 and 26. Four different things that he called out there. He said to them, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, where is his voice? Well, his voice is in his word. You know, so whatever God has spoken to us through the word of God, that's also his voice. You know, because, you know, that which was spoken was also then written. And so, you know, the word of God is also his voice. The written word is also his voice. And the Holy Spirit can also guide us audibly by instructions. But if we are not obeying the written word of God, you will never be a candidate for the spoken word, because you already have the written word, you know, and so you don't believe it. You know? Why would he tell you anything else? You know, so people talk about, you know, the story of Lazarus, the rich man, and Lazarus, the beggar in heaven, and all of that. I mean, when Lazarus died, he went to the bosom of Abraham. When this other one died, lifted up his eyes in hell, and he saw Abraham and Lazarus afar off, and said, Father Abraham, you know, send me back to the earth to warn my brethren that they do not come into this place of torment. But the answer of Abraham is like, look, they have the scriptures. If they don't believe the scriptures, they're not going to believe any revelation or any other word from anywhere. You know, so we already have the written scriptures. If you don't respond with obedience to those things, there's no need for the Holy Spirit to tell you anything else. So now his voice is in his word. And if you would do that which is right in his sight, not what the world says, not what you even think. That's what righteousness is being in right standing with God, according to God's standard, not anything else. And then if you, any time that you see or know his commandments, which the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance, you always hearken diligently to those commandments to keep all his statutes. I mean, look at all these conditions. But sometimes we skip over that and just go straight to, you know, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, yeah, he is the Lord that healeth thee, but yet there are conditions. You know, so I just wanted to give that as an example. There are many, hardly every promise that you can find that doesn't have some underlying condition that goes before that. Hardly any. Now, here's another good one, which I mentioned during the series. In John chapter 15 and verse 7, it's like an encompassing promise that you can get anything from the Lord. You know, but how do you do it? Well, this is what he said. If you abide in me. So that's the ordinance. You know, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, those are the ordinances that precede the promise. Actually, it's part of the promise. It's not let me correct that. It doesn't precede, it just precedes the statement of the outcome as given in that promise. There's always a point. We cannot separate the promise from the precondition. It's all part and the same. There are two parts to it. There is the ordinance and there is the outcome. The ordinance and the outcome. So I want you to remember that. The ordinance is, in this case, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. That's the ordinance. The outcome is you will ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Together, that forms the promise. So let us not separate. I corrected myself there. We don't want to separate the promise from the ordinance. You know, from now on, let's see the promise as a two-part, you know, as a composite thing. There's the ordinance and the outcome. All right. Laying that as a background, I want to go to the book of Job, chapter 38. And actually, this is actually where the study is from today. But I wanted to give that as a background so you know where we are going with this. Now, someday I will come back and do, you know, a full study, if the Lord allows it, on all the things that the Lord challenged Job with. There are many chapters here, about three chapters, you know. But today, I'm just going to read some portions. And why they are so powerful is that inside this conversation that God was having with Job, there are so many secrets that are revealed in it, you know, and if we study with the Holy Spirit, there'll be a lot of revelation. But let's look at chapter 38. Let's see how God challenged Job here. Then the Lord, in Job chapter 38 and verse 1, say, then the Lord, right, answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Guide up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of you, and answer thou me. So God's going to challenge Job here with some hard questions to see if he understands these things. If you can answer me these things, then, you know, I will answer you concerning whatever I allow and how I do things and how I run things. You know, so first question is, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you? Declare it if thou hast understanding. See, again, this is all about understanding. The first thing that God asked him. If you have understanding, then tell me. You know? So, these understanding, there's a lot of hidden understanding that can be gotten from this conversation or challenge that God threw down to Job. Tell me, who laid the measures thereof? Tell me if you know it. And then what is the line stretched upon? Who has stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations of the earth fastened? Do you know it? Who put the cornerstone in place? When the morning stars sang together, that's another thing. That's a deep secret there. And all the sons of God shouted for joy. Where were you? You know, do you know these things? I mean, begin to ask him all these things. It could be a long lesson, but I don't want to go there today. But I will jump to this one, which is where today's text is taken from. He asked him a lot of things. Who has put in wisdom in the inward parts and who are giving understanding to the heart? Remember, this lesson today is about understanding. Even the book of Proverbs says, you know, whatever you do, right, with all your getting, you must get understanding. If you don't get understanding, well, you know, I don't know what anything will profit you. So with all you're getting, you must get understanding. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. He said, wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, all your pursuit of wisdom, or your pursuit of anything else, you better get understanding. Praise the Lord. You know, so understanding is so key. Now let's go back to this lesson here. In Job chapter 38, we're coming to the place of understanding here. Verse 36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Tell me if you know it. And who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom? And who can stay, you know, the bottles of heaven? And so on and so forth. So it's all about understanding. But the verse where this text is taken from is actually in verse 33. Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now let's take a look at that question, or those two questions. From this verse, we see a number of things. Number one, we see there is something called the ordinances of heaven, whatever they are. We'll get to that in a bit. But these ordinances of heaven, which God is asking Job here, whether Job knows them, knowing means understanding. Now, the next thing we see from this verse is that these ordinances actually have some influence, a power to influence things, to dominate things, you know, to bring things into alignment. All of that is dominion. We've been talking about that in the Kingdom series. So, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Do you actually understand how to set the dominion of these ordinances that are in heaven and set their dominion over and in the earth? Do you know how to do it? Well, maybe Job didn't know how to do it at the time. But by God asking Job these questions, we actually find out that there are ordinances of heaven. And there is a way to actually set the dominion of those ordinances upon the earth. So now we got to figure out what it's all about. Because God just dropped it there as a question. But we read it in between the lines and say, okay, so there are ordinances in heaven, of heaven. And there are dominion of those ordinances that can be set in the earth. Now, these ordinances of heaven, it's like unction that goes out from the throne. In heaven, picture it. And God might show it to you. He showed it to me. Picture it that, look, nothing happens unless it's in response to an unction from the throne. The throne is the center. You know, there is something that's oozing out from that throne as the glory of God, you know, and his mind. And when you are in heaven, you know, and in that domain, in that realm, whether he speaks or not, you can understand what is in his mind. You know, because there is a communication that goes like that, just from him and the glory that's coming out from the one that sits on the throne. His very presence alone communicates many things, even if he doesn't say anything. You know, but more so, if he says something, wow. And the scripture says he speaks one thing in Psalm 68 and verse 11. And there's a lot. God speaks the word and great company that will publish it. Now, there is some influence of the king that the king wants to propagate throughout his kingdom and the culture that he wants to bring. We've been talking about that in Kingdom series. You know, so when we understand that, that's number one, then we can try to think, what is the presence of God communicating? And when we come into his presence, we use these terms, come into his presence, presence around us. But when you detach yourself from various things and focus on his presence, and you come in there, guy, what's the communication? Most of the time, our communication is one way. We just come on in there. We tell God all the things we need. We speak, ask, and then go away. You know, but that's not how it works. There is a communication to be received from his presence. There's an unction from his presence that will be imparted upon us if we are receptive to it. That's right. And he may not even say anything, but it's communicated already to you. Now, this is a lesson that I will get into some other day. But let me talk about these ordinances, how that they are bring impact in the earth. There is a story in the book of Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar, and we all know this story. And we've shared it, and I think a few days ago I alluded to the story as well in different ways. And when it was time for the Lord to show Nebuchadnezzar who's the boss, you know, there were certain statements made to him. You know, when the Lord would use, Daniel to communicate those things. And some of the statements that were made to him bear out this lesson that we are talking about today. You know, now it says, the Lord wants you to know something, that throughout all, you know, his dominions and everywhere upon the earth, you need to know that the Lord, he is king, and he is the one that sets up and can put down. And look, until you know that, because you don't seem to know it, you think you've done all these things by your power, or the Lord is going to show it to you until you have known that. So 7 years are determined upon you, on which the Lord is going to teach you this lesson. You know, he will teach you this lesson, but the Lord already said, look, leave a stump unto him. You know, don't completely destroy him. Leave the stump of the root, you know, and then come back. But, you know, this will happen to him until you have known something. So let's read that portion of it. They shall drive thee from men. Oh, well, let me read it from verse 24. This is the interpretation. You know, because the message that came out was, hold down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass. You know, secure it in the earth. Don't let it fall over. You can cut off the stem, the branches and everything, but leave a portion of the root and secure it, because he's coming back. So, but declare 7 years to him and so forth. So Daniel began to interpret this thing. He said, look, this is the interpretation. The king, he told him, this is the decree of the Most High unto you has come upon you, O king. You will be driven from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you'll be made to eat grass as oxen. And you'll be wet with the dew of heaven until 7 years passed over thee. Why? You know, the Lord wants to show him something. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdoms of men and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. And so you got to know that God is the one in really ruling. You know, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree and to secure in the ground with iron and brass, well, that kingdom shall be shown unto thee after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So there is a concept brought out here. There's something in the heavens that brings dominion upon the earth. The heavens actually rule, you know, and, you know, God can do whatever he wants, you know. So Nebuchadnezzar, he learned it, you know, and finally, when he came back, here's what he said. At the end of my days, those days where I was in the bush, verse 34 of Daniel 4. At the end of those days, I lifted up my eyes unto heaven and my understanding returned to me. This is what it's all about. You know, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing before him. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth. And there is none that can stay his hand. Neither can anyone say unto him, what doest thou? You know, so an amazing stuff, that revelation that finally came to him. When he now understood that what happens on earth is governed from heaven. You know, don't think that you are the one that accomplished it by yourself. You know, because he thought he accomplished all those things by himself. Now, we just see how the Lord showed it to him that, look, heaven is in charge. Now, God asking Job, I bring that out just to show you a point that even the Lord was telling Nebuchadnezzar here that heaven is in charge. And by God asking Job, we go back to that question with Job. What might be those ordinances then that can set certain things in order upon the earth? Well, thy word, O Lord, Psalm 119 and verse 89, is forever settled in heaven. Those ordinances can be found in the word of God. It takes some research, but they are there. But let me give you a short cut this morning to deciphering some of those ordinances. They are encoded with the promises of God. They are like the preconditions. You know, now if you do these things, then here are the outcomes. That means these things will have this effect. You know, so the ordinances, now there's other kinds of ordinances, but I'm focusing on the ones that are embedded inside his promises today, just because that's what we've been dealing with. But again, here's the other thing I want you to think about. If things are not going right, according as what we are hoping or believing or praying for, well, maybe, just maybe, we haven't understood how, let me use this word loosely, the machinery of the process works. You know, certain things that you have to put in place for certain things to come out. If you want wine, you know, from grapes, well, what you must do is you got to put the grapes through the wine press. You know, grape juice will come when the grapes, when I say wine, I'm talking of freshly scraped grape juice. I'm not talking of fermented alcoholic stuff. That'll come from the wine press, putting the grapes through the press. Now, you can't just be looking at the grapes and expecting, you know, that juicy, you know, grape juice come out of it without going through that process. It's a process that will get that juice out of the grapes. Now, once you understand that, then you have to go through the process. Now, similarly speaking, you have to see that some things are actually controlled from heaven. Many things, most things. But what is the part that we have to play? The number one part is understanding. Daniel experienced something that gives us understanding. You know, he actually said that, you know, for 3 whole weeks, he was praying, he was fasting for something, you know, and he did not know that the answer had been dispatched until the angel told him and said, "Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set your heart to understand," see, it's always about understanding. "Understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I was sent for to bring you understanding. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. So there was something going on in the heavens. Now, this Daniel did not understand those ordinances. He did not understand that, look, you know, there can be certain conflicts going on in the heavens to, you know, to block your answer from coming to you. He didn't understand it, but the angel revealed it to him. Angel was dispatched, but another angel from the dark world withstood him. You're not getting through to Daniel. Meanwhile, Daniel kept praying. You know, so prayer is good. If you stay with the prayer long enough, you might get a breakthrough, actually. But when you pray with understanding, you know, you can get through a whole lot quicker. You know, now we understand by the questions that God asked in Job, by this experience that Daniel had, and by many other things, that look, sometimes you got to deal with the heavens first. Before you worry about, and if you don't deal with those things, you may not see the outcome. That's why Paul said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, spiritual wickedness," you know, and so on and so forth. I mean, the battle is in the heavenlies first. You can understand that. Then you will find out that answers may be quicker in coming. Now, another way of looking at this is to say, well, what are these ordinances? What else can I do? I've already explained one part to you is, you know, make sure that you understand the promise, you know, as far as what the expectation of your part, which I call the preconditions or the ordinances behind that promise, might be. So, understand that. Then also understand certain things, you know, how you make things to come to pass, you know. Now, an ordinance can be thought of as a decree. It can be thought of as legislation. It can be thought of, you know, those kinds of things. So, in God's kingdom, the king can give a law, can give a regulation, he can give a decree, he can give a legislation. I mean, he can just do all these things. Now, those things can be considered an official word or order or things like that, you know. If you look up the meaning of definition, I mean, ordinance, it will tell you all these things that I just mentioned. You know, now, in the kingdom, it's also the same. There are things that God has put in position. There are ordinances. Put them out there. When the people do this, here's what will happen. It's an ordinance. So if you can understand that, then you are getting quicker to getting your answers. You know, so when the people abide in me and my words abide in them, it's an ordinance. He put it out there. Then when they stand in prayer, they can ask whatever they will and it will be done. It's already out there. It's an ordinance. You know, an ordinance can also be, you can also look at it as a stipulation of sorts that God put out there, you know, put it out. And if you understand it, you know, it's an order, it's a law, it's a rule, you know, it's a legislation. I mean, it's things that he puts in place, a regulation. In order for this to happen, this must happen, and so on and so forth. And if you understand it, you say, wow, then instead of going after the outcome, you go after the ordinance. Most of the time we're going for the outcome, but we're not going for the ordinance. And that's why we have difficulty. But go for the ordinance. If the ordinance is, well, keep my precepts, then make sure you are keeping his precepts. Whatever the ordinance is, go for that ordinance in order to see the outcome. Now, I'm trying to just explain it in simple terms so that people can understand it. But God told Job, or asked him this question, ordinances of heaven have dominion upon the earth. And if you understand it, if you understand that concept, you can actually make the earth respond and come into alignment with ordinances of heaven. Now, we can start from a microscopic view of some small thing that we need in our life on a daily basis, and then expand that to his eternal kingdom. It's the same concept. Even the things in the global and larger and universal scope of things in his kingdom, it still works the same way. You know, you got to understand from even the beginning when God told Adam and, you know, or revealed to us his intentions about Adam, there was something in his mind, which were the ordinances that he wanted to carry out. Ordinances that God wanted to carry out was expand his rule and his kingdom and his territory and his domain to the earth. That's in his mind. That was in his mind. And that's the ordinance that he wanted to carry out. And he put out a stipulation out there. He's a stipulation. I'm going to bring this man and he's going to have dominion over this and over that and so on and so forth. And he just put it out there. So if any of the animals and any of the creation would have questioned Adam and say, by what authority do you do these things? Then he will refer to the ordinance which God spoke. You know, I mean, they tried to ask Jesus those things. By what authority do you do these things? Jesus could have responded to the ordinance that put him, gave him the power to do those things, but he didn't. Instead, he said, well, you know, I sent one person ahead of me. You did not believe him. So let me ask you this. His message of John and his preaching, was it from God? Or did it come from man and his own human mind? Or was it taught by man? So the people couldn't answer that right. They said, well, neither will I tell you by what ordinance I do these things. You know, that's the question they were actually wanting to know. You know, so when you understand that and the devil is blocking your prayer, like this prince of Persia, the prince over the kingdom of Persia was blocking the angel that was bringing the answer to Daniel. If you now understand things that are, you know, the things may be blocking your prayer, the devil is always, you know, I mean, he's, you know, you're always trying to be in that courtroom to bring accusations and so forth. You can now stand and say, by the ordinance. That's right. This is the ordinance. You must understand it. You can't. If you don't understand it, he'll pull the wool over your eyes all the time. But if you understand it, by the ordinance given to me by the king in this his kingdom. Those ordinances that say such and such and such. That's why when we pray, we quote scripture as the ordinance. You're putting the ordinance in front. And by that ordinance, and by this ordinance and so forth. And because I brought myself in alignment with that ordinance, here will be the outcome. That's how you state your case. God also invited us to use those ordinances. Isaiah 43 and 26. I said it to us multiple times the last couple of days, but I didn't say it in this way that I'm saying it now. It's the same thing. God is inviting us, remind me of those ordinances. Put me in remembrance. Declare the ordinances in order to bring forth the correct influence and outcome upon the earth. You know, so even weather patterns and all these things that happen upon the earth, well, can be controlled from the heavens. I mean, if you understand it, hallelujah. Joshua, he did. The Bible said that Joshua, he spoke to the Lord. But it wasn't really the Lord that he spoke to. It was the sun and the moon that he spoke to. But he understood the ordinances. He understood that those sun and the moon, they respond to God's word. Joshua had that understanding. People said it was faith. Yeah, it was faith, but he had understanding. He had understanding to know that he could do that. You know, so when we have understanding, and that understanding is what is lacking, you know, sometimes you actually have understanding that you can do that. Well, yeah. That's what Jesus was teaching disciples, all these things. He taught them all these things. Look, you have the power to do this. He was trying to give them understanding. When you go, do these things. But you have the power. I've given you the power. You can tread upon serpents. You can tread upon scorpions. Nothing will by any means hurt you. You can do these things. You can heal the sick. You can cast out the devils. You can cleanse lepers. You can raise their dead. He gave them understanding first before he sent them out. So when they were faced with those situations, they will remember the ordinances in place that Jesus put out there. You know, so that's what I'm trying to explain to us today. Bringing that together, summarize this lesson. What that means to us today is this. The things that are happening that are influencing your life, whether positively or negatively, they can be controlled from the heavens. And for the most part, you yourself, you know, can influence the outcome. Praise the Lord. You can influence the outcome. Hezekiah was told by Isaiah, look, you're sick and you are dying. This sickness, unfortunately, you will not recover. So set your house in order. Give your charge to your sons or whatever, because you are going to die and you will not recover from this illness. Well, Hezekiah understood the ordinances and how you set their dominion in the earth. And the ordinance that he would use was one of pleading his cause. I have kept your ways. I have walked uprightly in your sight. So he came out there and he would exercise the ordinance, because, you know, God's ordinances are yea and amen. They're not if, perhaps, maybe, but, and all that. You put it out there. And if you do it, it's an exact science. It will happen. So he comes out and exercises the ordinance. Look, I have kept your ways. I have walked uprightly in your sight. I've done that which is right in your eyes. Therefore, I reject and refuse to die right now. And the Lord looked at him and said, wow, He knows the buttons to push. He got it. There's nothing else we can do. You go back and change it. Tell it. Done. Praise God. The same Hezekiah, you know, we see that when Sennacherib and Rabshakeh came to chide them and to tell them and all kinds of things that, look, put your necks under our yoke so that we can deliver you. And we'll even give you, you know, we will fortify your defenses if you do that. But if you don't, we're going to destroy your land, destroy everything, just like we did to all these other nations and cast everything into the fire and so forth. They are gods and everything. And Hezekiah, again, he knew which ordinances to push. When he went to the Lord, he said, Lord, first of all, you know, this is an ordinance that always works. And he come out there to the Lord and begin to tell the Lord that, look, you are the God, the very God that seated between the midst of the cherubims. You are the one that speaks and things are done. You are the one that upholds all things by the word of your power. I begin to tell God some great things, you know, and tell God this thing. I remind God of all the things that God has done as an ordinance, you know. Come in there and then you turn around and say, well, you heard how this man had come to challenge your name. It's not exactly us that he's challenging. It's you. Because he's saying, let not the God of Hezekiah, you know, like, let not Hezekiah tell you that his God will deliver you. So he's challenging your name. So that's an ordinance. You put the name of God on challenge. That's an ordinance. If you know how to do that, and Hezekiah said, Lord, your name is at stake here. That's an ordinance. If you know how to walk that, and Hezekiah did, your name is at stake here. This man has come here to make just rubbish your name, basically. Coming here to rubbish your name. So, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? You know, and Hezekiah challenged the Lord to respond so that the people may know that God is the Lord. And that's an ordinance. So he understood it. And he's going to change, you know, by he understanding and pushing the right buttons, walking the ordinances of heaven. Now, God is in heaven. You're talking to him. You're pushing the buttons that God has set in place. And God understands it. He's bound by those things that he already put in place. If you know how to do it. And this guy figured it out. And so God said, okay. You go down there. All he needs is one angel. These angels excel in strength. Go down there and take care of business. One angel in one night, 185,000 of their enemies were slain. And the Lord said, I will do it for my name's sake. I will defend this city. And he did it. The ordinance that Hezekiah pushed was putting the name of the Lord, you know, at stake, and his reputation. He said, well, you know, it's your name that's at stake here. And so God responded. Moses knew how to do that as well. And people have figured out how to do some of these things. They get great outcomes. When God wanted to destroy Israel because of all their stiff-neckedness and everything and just constantly disobeying his word, he was had it with up to here with them. The ordinance that Moses used, again, when he stood before the Lord, was the same concept that Hezekiah used. He said, look, everybody has heard that you are the great God. You know, and they fear you because of all the signs and wonders that you did in Egypt. Now, if now you destroy these people, what are they going to say? They're going to say that their God could not, you know, sustain them. I mean, he made the whole argument about God. He just made the whole argument about God. And so that's an ordinance. When you understand those ordinances, wow, you actually can cause a shift, an atmosphere shift in the outcome of things upon the earth. We've seen many examples. David was a man that understood it. In his David's own case, which is Hezekiah borrowed a page out of David. David's own case, the ordinance that he knew how to push was praising the Lord. I mean, he would come out there and say, my God is my shield, is my rock, is my fortress, is my buckler. It's the right hand I've gotten in the victory. He is my salvation, I've become my song, he's my this, he's my that. I mean, he would just say all those things about the Lord. And then the Lord will respond, thunder with a voice out of heaven. Hallelujah. So, you know, David had that kind of power with God by knowing the ordinance of praise. You know, how you use it to get things to happen upon the earth. You know, and my goodness, when David did those things, you know, and there was a day here a couple of months ago that I read through, you know, the Psalm 18 and all this, those places where David was doing those praises of the Lord and how God responded, how God thundered with a voice out of heaven, how coals of fire were kindled before him. You know, I mean, all the things that God responded. Now, those are ordinances. And David knew the right buttons to push. Hallelujah. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. And the Lord heard me, see, out of his holy temple. My cry came to him. Look at God's response. There was that kind of cry. It's not everybody that gets this kind of response. But, you know, somebody who has figured out the ordinance of praise, how it works. You know, he said, look, the earth shook and trembled when I prayed. You know, foundations of the hills were moved and were shaken because God was wrath. He stood upon my behalf. There was a smoke that went out of his nostrils, fire out of his mouth devoured, coals were kindled by it. He bowed down the heavens and came. I mean, my goodness. David knew the ordinances to push. You know? And so that's our lesson today, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want this lesson to go too long, but you can see that this is a concept we can develop for hours. I can bring you example after example after example. Same thing when this same David went up against Goliath. You know, when everybody else said, this Goliath has come to defy the armies of Israel, David said quite the opposite. He said, this man has come to defy the armies of the living God. Everybody else thought that this man came out against Israel. David said, no. He has come out to blaspheme the name of the Lord. So David is now going to make it about God's name, God's army, not the armies of Israel, but the armies of God. God is the one whose name is at stake here. If you allow this man to win and continue to taunt us every day, then we are showing the world that God cannot defend his own army. God cannot defend. So, it's not like we cannot defend ourselves, but God cannot defend. Now, when you know those ordinances, how to use those ordinances, you can actually influence the outcome. So everybody has cowered in their corners. David understood. And look. You know, and he got the victory. I can go on and on and on. This is the angle that I want to bring today. There's quite a lot more about ordinances and dominion in the earth. But I wanted to use this to buttress the lesson that we have been giving over the last 2 or 3 days. You know, so, but what is behind all of this? Understanding. You have to know certain things. Now, we started out about a week ago talking about, you know, in 1 Chronicles 12 and 32, the understanding that the sons of Issachar had and made them to know what they needed to do. It is important. I'm concluding this lesson today on the subject of and the importance of understanding. That's what God is asking you. Do you know the understanding? Do you understand how the ordinance of heaven works? You know, or how the ordinances work? Do you understand them? You have that understanding? Well, that's what he was asking him. So we need to get that understanding. If you know how things work in heaven, then all you got to do is deal with heaven. Don't worry about the earth. Just deal with heaven. You can, you know how you set things, you know, just set things in order over there, you know, and then just stand back and see the salvation of the Lord. Glory to God. So I pray that the Lord will give us understanding today. More to be said on this subject. The Lord allows me, I may go deeper into it, maybe tomorrow or not, but I want to leave that here today. That while we are on the subject of searching scriptures, use the scriptures for our benefit, we must have understanding of what drives. I mean, those scriptures have a life. There's a spirit in those scriptures that will come alive. And what causes those things to happen? Well, you have to understand what makes that happen. And if you understand it, then the path to your victory, the path to the answer of peace, the path to the miracles of supply and the miracles of healing, the path to whatever it is that you are believing God for becomes much, much shorter, because you now know the ordinances. And you deal with those ordinances first, and then, you know, just stand back and see the outcome. And if you practice that right, you can find out that it's an exact science. It's not that it works one day and doesn't work the next day. It works all the time. It's yea. The promises of God are yea and amen. Not perhaps, not maybe. You know, it works all the time. I'm going to pray over the room. And the Lord will give us understanding of how ordinances of heaven work. And remember, heaven is a kingdom. And there is a king over the kingdom. His ordinances are the word of the king. You know, and the word of the king is law in a kingdom. There's no democracy to debate it. You know, there's no, you know, house of rep. There's no Senate, there's no, you know, legislature and so forth to debate the word of the king. In a monarchy, the word of the king is everything. What he says goes. And he can make a decree that is contrary to what everybody else thinks. And there's nothing they can do about it. It's a monarchy. It's not a democracy. And he can make a decree for just one person. And it may not make that decree for somebody else. That's just the way it is in the kingdom. Many examples in the Bible. You know, God can just, I mean, in his own kingdom too, we have to recognize that Christ is king in this kingdom. And the attributes of him as king and the attributes of his relationship in the kingdom, that's what we teach in the kingdom series. And with that, he can make a decree just for you. And if you understand that he can actually do that, then you use that understanding of those kind of ordinances to your advantage. And he can make a decree for you. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. I have given examples like that in the scriptures many times. You know, God made God showed us these stories in earthly kingdoms. People just make decree. I mean, King Darius can make a decree, and that's it. And Nebuchadnezzar can make a decree, and that's it. All of these people can make a decree. Even Cyrus made a decree, and that was it. I mean, just make a decree. They're kings. You know, what they say goes. That's it. We've seen people that used the word of the king to their benefit. The Shunammite woman, after 7 years departure, came back. And when she went there to ask the king made a decree for her. Let everything be restored. Now, that was not the law. Once the state has captured your land and everything, that's it. It cannot get it back. It's property of the state now. She abandoned it. The state took it over. They turned it into a produce and everything. But the king can reverse all of that in a moment. Just gave one word. Let everything be restored to her from the time she left. And all the benefits and everything be restored to her. See to it. Now, that's it. The word of the king. You know, so there are ordinances like that, you know. And when you understand it, use it to your advantage. David used those ordinances to bless Mephibosheth, you know, who were the son of Jonathan. And David has said, look, is there anyone left? 2 Samuel chapter 9 of the house of Saul that I may bless him for Jonathan's sake. You know, and Mephibosheth was the only one left. He was at the time lame and had nothing going for him. You know, and he was hiding because somebody had tried to kill all the sons of the kings. But in one day, all of that changed. David made a decree. So from this time on, right now, Ziba, you, and you, and you, and you, you're reporting to this man from now on. All the things that you used to do for Saul, you're doing for this man from now on. And all the things that belong to Saul belong to this man. And moreover, you set a seat for him here with the princes on my table every day. He will eat there. That's an ordinance. Nobody can question it. You can't. Look, that's a decree of the king. You can make it for one person, and that's it. There's nothing you can do about it. You know, Pharaoh can come out of there, you know, and one day can bring Pharaoh, can bring Joseph and change everything. And say, from now on, you, everybody, you report to this man. From now on, you know, look, he's in charge of everything. Nothing will be done. No hand will move except by Joseph in the land. From now on, he's in charge. That's it. The whole thing will change in one day, you know, from prison to the throne in one day. Same thing for Esther, you know, in the story of Esther and everything, we can see the Mordecai, the same thing. When it was time for God to turn things around and to promote Hezekiah, he used even his enemy to bring it to pass. But nonetheless, in one day, changed all of that, you know, praise God. So, if you understand how those things work and you know that the king has the power to make decree as another ordinance, the king has it. He's in charge. If you understand that, then when you pray, you say things like, you know, all power belongs to you. You know, your right hand has gotten you the victory. You are the one that speaks and it's done. You are the one that commands and it stands fast. And you begin to tell him those things. You are pushing the right buttons. So, Father, I pray over the room today that we have understanding, that we receive understanding of these things, and that we will know how to use that understanding to our advantage. And these words that we are hearing in these lessons, these words will not be stolen from our hearts because now we have understanding. And we thank you, Lord. We give you praise and we give you glory. Now, unto everyone that has been hearing these lessons, listening in today or listening in later on through the replays, we pray the grace of God to be upon you for real understanding, that your eyes will be enlightened to see wondrous things out of the word of God, that your ears, you know, you'll have your eyes anointed with eyes all, you know, and you'll be able to see as eye drops, as even ear drops too, spiritual ones that your ears will hear. And then there is something for your heart. All of that leads, there are portals to your heart, you know, bring you understanding in your heart. And once you have that understanding, the devil can't take it from you anymore. Can't take the word from you because you have understanding. It is the ones that don't have understanding that the devil can take it from their heart. Once you have understanding, know how to use it. So, Lord, thank you for the understanding I've given to your people today and going forward. Now we know how to use it, how to make things happen in heaven that will bring the right outcome for us here upon the earth. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.